Let's fall in love with God.
Chapter 13, Individuality of Intimate Relationship. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. John 15:4. Every relationship has its ups and downs, its times of peace and strife, its times of pleasure and pain. The single most important thing in relationship is effective communication. We have several means of communication, ranging from verbal expressions through intuition. God has no physical form, but he possesses the highest of all communications, ways, and means. Unfortunately, many scholars insist that God does not speak to people today except by way of what has been recorded in the Bible. Yet many of these same teachers would agree with my premise that God desires to be in up-close and personal relationships with us. How, may I ask, would that even be remotely possible without spontaneous expression? I will admit that for many decades I only heard God by reading the Bible, but oh, what excitement filled my soul when I began to communicate with God as intimately as with my most significant other. To that end, let me share ideas about hearing God communicate in real time and in unmistakable communications. Intimate relationships are particularly unique and individual, so the ways in which I communicate with my significant others may differ from yours. However, most of what I will share here has been experienced by many others in similar fashion. With that having been said, let me jump into the deep end of the pool. Hearing God's voice. Many Christians have desired to hear God's voice, but do not know how to listen or how to recognize when God is speaking to them. This is true partly because there is little teaching on this matter. Another reason for some is that they have trouble discerning whether they are hearing God's voice or their own. For most of us, God's voice sounds like our own. Rarely will one hear an audible voice of God. But remember that sound is not necessary for God to speak to us. He can speak to us in several ways. Liken it to body language, which is spoken without words. Communication between persons takes many forms. So, as I articulate some of the ways you might hear God's voice, feel free to let your imagination reveal other ways that work for you. God is very uniquely individual with this. You may hear him in ways that others do not. Your imagination is actually where God plants his inspiration and revelations. Logos and Rhema. Logos is the written word of God. Most of us are used to hearing God speak as we read Scripture. Rhema is when God's Spirit reveals something to you from the words you are reading. This is like an aha moment, or when suddenly you see something new in a passage you may have read several times before. Listen for the fresh rhema of revelation every time you read the Bible. Rhema can come from spoken words or supernatural events. Four keys to hearing God's voice. One approach to hearing God's voice is by way of four key elements of the process by which God communicates to us. Stillness, vision, spontaneity, and recording are four elements of effective communication and ways to hear God's message or his voice. 1. Stillness is a state of silence or quietness in which we can hear even the faintest of voices. God often speaks in a still, small voice. If we are too noisy or distracted, we may miss the most important words or revelations from God. So the first thing to do is to quiet yourself down. This does not necessitate a perfectly quiet space. You can learn to be quiet in the middle of a noisy place so as to hear God while you are actively involved in activities of life. 2. Vision is when God gives you an actual vision or dreams. Be open to the fact that many dreams are God's way of speaking to you. As we have all heard, a picture paints a thousand words. Well, visions and dreams speak millions of words. For example, a one-hour movie might take several hours to read in a book on which the movie was based. As soon as you awaken from a dream, take the time to write down things you remember about the dream. Then, as soon as you have time to reflect on it, ask God to explain what he was trying to communicate to you. 3. Spontaneous thoughts come to us all the time. We may be in the middle of a very busy day when God puts a thought in our mind. A friend once told me this story. He said that he had never heard God's voice for over 40 years of life. Someone had suggested to him that God often speaks to us through our thoughts. My friend had never heard that before. There had been times in his life when he had wondered if a particular thought was from God or conjured up in his own mind. Mostly, he had dismissed these thoughts as his own because they were thoughts which fulfilled his own desire on the issue. Is this the voice of God? One day, John was driving to Charlotte, North Carolina, for a meeting with some fellow believers about a life of grace. When he approached the north side of the city, a random thought came to him. He had never considered this idea before, but he wondered if he should take the interstate loop around the city rather than drive straight through the middle of town. Then he realized that maybe this was God speaking to him. He had no particular agenda in the matter. But since it was a new thought, he decided to take the bypass. When he arrived in South Charlotte, he was told that there had been a terrible traffic accident on the highway through the middle of Charlotte, and traffic was backed up for over an hour. Consider it so. Based on the advice and counsel of some of the meeting attendees, John chalked up the thought to go around the city to the voice of God. He began to consider every thought as possibly a word to him from God. Eventually, John felt as though he was hearing God's voice all the time. And to be sure, that was largely true. Don't dismiss any thought as simply your own machination just because it is something you might want to hear. By the same token, consider whether your own personal desire might mislead you into thinking it is God's voice when it is only yours. Test your motives. God will reveal any selfishness in you which might make you attempt to call a thought God's voice when it is, in fact, only yours. The more you practice listening for God's voice in your spontaneous thoughts, the more you will hear God's voice. 4. Journaling is another element of hearing God's voice. God usually intends for us to share what He says to us with others who might be encouraged or enlightened by God's message to us. Journaling can take the form of a handwritten journal, an audio recording, a voice recording, a video recording, a typed document, or any other form of capturing the message of God's voice. I personally record in text, audio, and video formats all the time. I record everything of significance. I also keep a pad of paper beside my bed with a writing instrument so as to capture aha moments in the twilight of wakening moments with dreams, visions, or just spontaneous thoughts. That way, I do not forget them and can ponder them more thoroughly in the morning. Journaling can produce a very effective legacy which might last for decades or even centuries beyond your lifespan. Creativity and imagination. Feel free to be creative and let God reveal many other ways for you to hear God's voice speaking to you. You can never hear too many words from God, but you might miss too many if you don't practice specific ways of listening such as these. Through unceasing awareness of God, He begins to speak fluently to us. Pray without ceasing. Here are 4 key scriptures that might help. Wait, Isaiah 40:31. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Be still, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be speechless. James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And be taught, Isaiah 40:13. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him?